Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/letstalk. All right, y'all. Hey, what's going on out there? How y'all doing today? I hope everybody's having a great day. Yes, that's the end of the week, man. It's Friday. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with Friday. Friday's always a good day. Woo! For some of y'all, it's the last day of the work week. For some of y'all, at 6 p.m. this evening, it's the start of the Sabbath. And for others, it's the start of your weekend. But for those that have to work, oh, well, I'm sorry that you got to continue to work tomorrow. But, hey, it's still Friday. And you know what it is? Friday here is Freedom Friday. That's right, but you're the caller. You determine, helps determine what the topic is going to be today and how long we talk about it. And I'm telling you, man, I think I have put together a very, very, very nice show for us. And, man, I'm telling you, I got some stuff gathered here. And it took a little thinking and a little researching. But, man, it's interesting at the events that have happened along, you know, the lead up to where we are right now and with this ISIS thing, because we got to talk about this ISIS because it's really interesting. And, you know, the Ferguson, Missouri, and then we have what else we have going? Man, we got so much going on. I got it right here in my notes. I'll get when I'm ready to talk about it, we'll be there. But, man, we got so much planned for you today. And, of course, I'm looking for your input and opinions on the comments and the topics that we talk about. Because even though I have my opinions and my things that I want to talk about, I know there's things on your mind that you'd like to discuss as well. So today is your day. It's Freedom Friday. Freedom Friday. So you get to talk about what you want to talk about also, as long as it's nothing, you know, too crazy. I know it can't be too crazy because when I say no topic is off limits, that's right. So, anyway, welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. If you want to be a part of the show today, no problem. Just give us a call, 347-838-8622. You can email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. You can always join us in our chat room where the conversation never stops, never. And you can go there by www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And, man, I tell you, once you get in that chat room, oh boy, between what's going on here in the air, but anyway, I mean, let's be real, if it's hot, stay inside, you'd be better off, right? Yeah, at least you stay cool, hopefully, if you got some kind of, what that thing called, air conditioning, or some kind of air flowing through, yeah. You know, but too busy next Saturday. We haven't discussed the time yet, but I will let you know. So I just thought about the idea because y'all know I don't do Saturday shows, so you know this one got to be kind of good if I'm gonna do one. So you know that's it on that one. Let's see. Let's give some early shout outs. Of course, we have the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Antoinette in the house, and then we have, oh my God, Divine Design. Ooh, hey, girl. Then we got guest 1441. I know who you are. And then we, of course, we got my brother, Mr. Jonathan in the house. You know, so, hey, and, we don't have anybody on the switchboard yet, which is all good. you know, it's all good, and we're gonna move on from there. All right, so let's do this, man. Let's do this. Hey, I know something else. You know, I've been approached, since y'all are my listeners, I've been approached to advertise some more shows, some more businesses on the show. And, you know, I mean, I've been given a whole list of things, you know, companies that want to advertise. And I think the one I'm leaning toward is patents. You know, the patent inventions and things of that nature. Would y'all like to hear that advertised on the show? Or, you know, is there something else? You know, just shoot me this and shoot me some. Because I got a whole list of them, man. I'm telling you, I can't really name them all off right now. But I have a whole list. And I thought, you know, the invention one would be good for the show. But I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. And hey, let me know. Let me know, because I can do this. We can do this. All right? So, enough of me talking, you know, and trying to shoot time, because I really want to talk about what's going on here, because I've kind of put some things together, and it's going to be really interesting. So, without further ado, here goes your song of the day, man. The song is 8 minutes. The songs are eight minutes and 52 seconds. But I'm telling you, once you get to listening, you're going to forget about the time, because these songs are just like the bomb diggity, man. And they're songs that make you think a little bit. They really do. So I hope you enjoy them. So without further ado, here's Marvin Gaye and Curtis Mayfield, your songs of the day.
Hey, what's up, man?
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. All our hair is long. Oh, you know we've got to find a way.
Mayfield.
All right. Hey, there it is. Those were your songs of the day. And that's right. We had a little Curtis Mayfield, and we also had Marvin Gaye. Oh, yeah. Hey, you can't get any mellower than that. That's for sure. All right. So now, hey, I got a quote of the day now. But you know what? Before I get to the quote of the day, those two songs, man, I'm like, wow. You know, first Marvin was asking what's going on. You know, he made that song about the Vietnam War and the killings that were going on, you know, here and there. And then you can take it and just bring it here with us right now in today's society, and it's the same thing. And you got to ask, what's going on? You know what I mean? What is going on? Oh, man, it's just raggedy. The lack of a better word, it's just raggedy. So, yeah, I think that song is very relevant in today's society. You know, we're still asking that same question. What's going on? You know, what is going on? And then Curtis comes in and say, oh, my goodness, let's get back to living again. You know, let's get that family foundation back together to where we were living as a family, as a community, not in a neighborhood, but in a community. Let's get back to living again. You know, we had our own grocery stores. We had our own convenience stores. You know, we had our own law enforcement. Let's get back to living again. Now, is that possible in today's world, today's society? Who knows? The way it's going, it doesn't look like it. But I'm sure we can get there if we fight hard enough. But the question is, who's willing to put that much work in? This is a society today that is all about fast everything. You got fast food. You got fast internet. You got 4G telephone, cell phones. You know, I remember growing up, if you left the house and somebody called, you just had to wait back. If you were financially able enough to have an answering machine, you could check it when you get back. If not, they just called you when you got home. If they called you back. But now we got so fast forward that we have cell phones. You can't miss a call. Most of you, if you leave your cell phone home, I don't care how far away from home you get, once you realize it, you turn all the way back around, go and get that phone. Mm-hmm. We need to get back to living again. We really do. Right on. That's right. Man. That's the only thing. Right on. Through the wind, through the snow. Gary. It really is. It's scary, y'all. It is. Woo! All right. I got a little hype. Anyway, let me get to the quote of the day real fast so I can get back to my whatever I was doing. Anyway, so quote of the day comes from Divine Design, the one and only. She says, duct tape, it can't fix stupid, but it can muffle the sound. Isn't that something else right there, huh? Duct tape. It can't fix stupid, but it can muffle the sound. Now, some of you out there in your offices right now, I know there's some of them out there that you would love to put some duct tape on right about now. Because you know why? Because you can't fix stupid. Okay. All right. For those that say, yeah, Mr. Todd, I'd like to put some duct tape on you, only thing I got to say, come try it. Anyway, so today is Freedom Friday here on Let's Talk. I am your host, Mr. Talk. And once again, if you want to participate in the show, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us in our chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. All right. And then we're going to give our shout outs once again. We got Antoinette. We got Divine Design. Guest 1441. Guest 954. Then we got Mr. Thomas 1 in the house. And on the switchboard, we got Cuz in the house. Mr. Vernon. Welcome, sir. How you doing? All right. So, enough the chitter chatter, chitter chatter. Let's get to talking about some things, y'all. Let's get to talking about some things. All right. Here we go. Now is the time where the master plan is beginning to once again rear its wonderful, wonderful head. And it's time to instill the fear factor into the American people. Because, you know, they've slowly implemented the plan to make us think that there is a lot going on. And, you know, we as Americans, you know, we turn a blind eye. Why? Because we really don't care, because it doesn't pertain to us. We don't feel as though, you know, it's over there. Let them handle it. And I said the same thing. You know, they fighting over there. Let them handle it over there. But wait a minute. Let me read a couple of things that are being put out now. And it started, you know, the PR is really, really beginning to kick in. Here's something. Let's see. Who said this? America's top defense officials. You know, it was not enough to just hit the extremist group in Iraq. Okay, so it's not that we just keep bombing the group in Iraq. We just can't keep doing that because it's not achieving anything. Can they be defeated without addressing the part of the organization that resides in Syria? In Syria. The answer is no. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel and General Mark Dempsey, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. All right, listen now. Operations against ISIS in Syria, Hagel said, we're looking at all options. Y'all remember that saying, we're looking at all options. Now, here's the part where they're really beginning to push now, not only the fear factor, but they're beginning to slowly push for the military to get back in that region. See, you must understand, we came out. We went into places like Kuwait. You know, where we can hang out in Kuwait a little while. Yeah, we got a little people over there. But we need to be in Iraq. That's what it is. Because that's where our interests are, so they say. Oh, man, I'm telling you. But anyway, here's what they also said. The Defense Secretary and Joint Chiefs of Staff, they are beyond a terrorist group. Listen, they are beyond a terrorist group. They marry ideology. A sophistication of strategic and tactical military prowess. Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. The United States Army, we have an ideology. We go in to... Well, y'all see where this is going. Y'all see where this is going. No, the United States Army is not a terrorist group. No, we're not. We never have been. We've been a bunch of big bullies, but when we go into places, we go to liberate. We're liberating. But this group here, they just want to be able for the whole country just to what? Live by Shia law and live as Muslims. But we can't have that, can we? The next statement was, this is beyond anything we have seen, and we must prepare for everything, and the only way you do that is get ready. Oh, boy. I'm telling you, man. It's getting good. And then, of course, we have one of our greatest greatest congressmen, senators of all time that has always has something to add, Senator John McCain, who advocated for strikes against ISIS in Syria, said their extremists were an enemy that must be defeated. Now, listen. Must be defeated. Not stopped, but defeated. Whew. All right. I'm going to stop right there for a moment because, you know, John McCain was a supposedly prisoner of war. Okay, you know, good. I mean, you know, I'm glad he survived and he's here to talk about it. But you mean to tell me John McCain hasn't figured out yet, that you cannot defeat anyone or any group that are willing to die for what they believe in? How do you defeat that? How? You cannot. You can't. But John McCain, some kind of way, feels that we must. We have to defeat them. Why? Spread throughout that region and can spread into Europe and into the United States of America, McCain said. Really? That is just crazy. Now, I'm gonna read y'all something else here, and I'm just putting the information out. Don't get mad at me. I'm just putting it out. All right. Since August 8th, the U.S. military has carried out 90 airstrikes. 57 of them in support of Iraqi forces near the Mosul Dam, according to the Defense Department. Now, you know, I went to public school, but they did show me how to add and subtract. So we missing 33 airstrikes somewhere. What the hell did they strike? What else they shooting at? Oh, I know some of y'all. Well, they shooting at the other the targets. Yeah, believe that one if you want to. I mean, and police to once again gain a stronghold on these areas to help their people survive. So once again, if we ever end our airstrike, what's going to happen again? What's going to happen? It's going to go back the same way it was. Just get us to start all over again. But wait a minute. The fear factor has been placed in the American's mind, in the American public mind. And that is what is wanted. It is. Now, I'll tell you how far they're going with this thing. Because it is just amazing. A General George Allen, from a U.S. commander in Afghanistan, calls the group an abomination and a clear and present danger to the U.S. John McLaughlin, former deputy CIA director, argues that its rivalry with Al-Qaeda makes a strike at the U.S. homeland more likely because success would contrast sharply with Al-Qaeda's inability to put off another major attack here after 9/11. These are words, not telling you a story. These are words that's framing the mindset of the American people that are not savvy enough to see it's propaganda. It's propaganda. And they frame it so well, so eventually we're going to start believing that soon we're going to have another 9/11. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. We already have a group that we can blame it on. Imagine that. Imagine that. But let me tell you what Mr. Rick Perry had to say. Rick Perry jumped into the fray, and he raised the prospect of Islamic State members crossing the U.S.-Mexican border. There's the obvious great concern that because of the condition of the border from the standpoint of it not being secure and us not knowing who is penetrating across that individuals from ISIS, Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or other terrorist states could be crossing the border. And I think there is a very real possibility that they may have already used that. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin warns his constituents that unless the group is eradicated, it will export terrorists to the USA. Do you see where we going with this? Do you see this? Do you see this? Huh? But wait a minute. Well, let's get back to Rick Perry for a moment. Rick Perry, and I've said this quite often, has been the governor of the state of Texas for 12 years. One, two years. His damn self. They don't talk about the federal government, but yet he wants to say, you don't know who's coming across. It may be the terrorists. Well, it's amazing, but yet they are working hard to frame our way of thinking, to have reasonable doubt that we could be attacked. That ISIS is coming to the United States. That ISIS will cause a major catastrophe greater than the 9/11 tragedy. Wait a minute. Hold it. If I remember correctly, 9/11 was perpetrated by who? The United States. What terrorists did that? Are we our own terrorists? But yeah, I'm not going to go there because I done found some new information that we're going to talk about later on next week about 9/11. But anyway, armored Humvees. The same Humvees I used to ride, the same type of Humvees I used to ride around in when I was over there. You think? Anyway. Now, and here's some background. The veterans of ISIS, they say the Islamic State includes experienced officers from Saddam Hussein's Baathist regime. Say what you want about Saddam, but his military was top-notch. There are not some of the ragtag Taliban forces in Afghanistan. Here we go again. And here's the one they're really jumping on now to really, really make you really think we are in so much trouble. Westerners. Several thousand fighters made hold passports of Western nations, including 100 to 150 Americans. And McLaughlin says that is the largest number of Western fighters to sign on with an Islamic extremist group. So now, we have 100 to 150 Americans there, and they're coming home. And when they come home, they're going to start cells here in the United States. And when they become big enough, they're going to all come together and bang, boom, boom, and we're going to have a catastrophe that it will be for the ages. Are you scared yet? Are you scared yet? Lord have mercy. But it's there, y'all. It's there. That's what they want you to do. You know, it's crazy. They have their own territory. ISIS has their own territory now because, of course, they started in Syria. Now they're in Iraq, Mosul. You know, I've been there. I've been to Mosul. Yes, I have. You know, there's an airfield there that I don't see anybody mentioning, but there's an airfield there as well. Why wouldn't you take over the airfield? But nobody has mentioned that. But I'm just saying, you know. And once again, let's get back to the beheading. The beheading. That was there for a few minutes, then was gone. You cannot find where was the picture where the actual sawing and the cutting was done because it was too graphic to put on YouTube. It was too graphic for Twitter. Well, heck, they got a whole lot more graphic things on there on a daily basis. So, I mean, then you're out in the middle of a desert? Really? You don't have any flags behind you, you know, letting everyone know who you are? I'm not believing it. I'm not believing the hype. Isn't that what Flavor Flav used to say? Don't believe the hype. I'm not believing the hype because it's propaganda, and they're good. Man, I'm telling you, they are really trying to. But the government is trying to get us, y'all. But nobody wants to pay attention to that. You know, and I went back and I thought about some things. I say, well, let me go back and see how all this is being perpetrated and how they're building up to this so-called tragedy that hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen, right? Let's see. First thing that happened, we had Flight 370, Malaysian Flight 370. That's one of the first biggest things, right? A plane that just disappeared. No one knows where it is. No one has found it. No one. To this day, we still haven't found it. The Langoliers have it. Oh, man. That's right. Okay. All right. When we set that up, they beat on that as much as they could. Okay. Now, that has gone off. You know, they've paid all the passengers and the families and things, so everybody's happy now. They don't have to worry about that. Then we had the Telebon 5 trade. Sergeant Bird Dog for 5 supposedly high-ranking Telebon officials that's supposed to go to this one country, Qatar, for a whole year without having any communication with the Telebon or anybody else. And they're supposed to really keep their eye on them to make sure they do not cross over to any other places. Get real. Get real. But if you notice, the onus was not on those 5 individuals that were traded. It was on Bo Bergdahl because supposedly he was a traitor. Bo Bergdahl wasn't a traitor. He was a mentally ill soldier. His records indicate that wasn't the first time that he walked off of a post. At a field exercise. He had walked off before already in Afghanistan. Now, being in the military and an NCO, my question is, why was he still, number one, in my unit? Number two, why was he still on anybody's post? Once again, we did something to actually take the onus off those five individuals that were traded. So we maintained and made sure we had all of the fall guy back here in the United States. You know, this so-called private, you know, Sergeant Bird Dog, and we concentrate on that. I'm just saying, y'all. I'm just giving you a little something. I'm just giving you a little something. You don't have to believe me. You may say I'm full of crap, but I'm just putting it the way I see it. These are my opinions. These are not opinions of Blog Talk Radio, but these are my opinions. From what I've sat down, thought about, looked over, and searched about. Then we had Flight 17. Once again, Malaysia Flight 17. Now, this one was shot down, and there was debris. Have you realized that? I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I may be wrong, but I'm just saying. Okay. All right. All right. And then, we had this Ebola scare. If you've been looking at the news or whatever the last couple of days, man, I tell you, these individuals we brought back with Ebola are healed. They're feeling better because this move has worked. Has worked. It has saved our American citizens. It has. So let's hurry up and get this over here to Africa. Guess what? It's not the same serum. And to add to it all, the serum is patented. They couldn't release it until now because they had to have, you know, Monsanto is one of the most protected companies in America. Besides the Koch brothers. Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand. Now, this serum here, yeah, it's good. Over there, it's going to kill more of them and more. It's not going to heal anyone because it's not meant to. The only reason why it was used and its so-called help these two individuals get better because they never had it. They never had it. And I'm going to go back to the videos. If someone has a disease that bad and is to where they are about to die, how are you walking out the back of ambulance? How? You're supposed to be almost on your deathbed. How are you doing this? To stop by and lay this hand on you and say, rise, I say. I think not. We're being hoodwinked, people. But that's okay. That's okay. And now, if you notice, every now and then in the news, you hear about, well, there may be another Ebola scare in this city. Another Ebola scare in that city. But once again, oh, no, it's just a false reading. Just another false reading. Yeah. It's killing a whole lot of black folk. That's all I'm going to say. On their own continent, at that. Oh, I know. Well, they're eating different type of meat than what we eat, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and whatever. Some of the stuff we're doing over here should be killing us, but it's not. Oh, I'm sorry. In some instances, it is killing some of us. But I'm not even going there with y'all. All right. So we got the Ebola.
All right.
We got the Ebola. Now, we need to raise it up a little bit. You know, we didn't got, you know, the fear and their attention a little bit, but we still not getting the reaction that we want. You know, we're not getting the unrest that we need. We're not getting the division that we really want. I know how to do it. Let's find this small African-American community and create civil unrest. Now, everybody with a video phone is recording this young black man laying in the street, blood running. We record, they're recording this, right? White cop standing up there, you know, then the white cop, he's gone. You don't see him no more. You got your so-called witnesses telling stories, you know, telling what they've seen, and some of them match, some of them don't. You know, some say this, some say that. But now you have that civil unrest that you need to go with the fear. You got the poverty pimp, Al Sharpton showing up. That, by the way, wanted to charge the family for him to lead the protest. Y'all didn't know about that. Oh, Jesse showed up too, but they ran him away. Y'all didn't know about that either, but I'm telling you. I'm telling you. So, back to what I'm saying, though. Now we have the unrest that we need. We have the division within this country that is needed to ultimately get us to where we want to go. And for those that are saying, who is we and who is us, I'm talking about the United States government, okay? I'm not scared to tell you who I'm talking about. I'm not scared of them. They should be scared of me or what I'm putting out. But, you know, they're not paying me no attention. I'm talking hogwash. But anyway, back to what I was saying. Back to as I was saying. So now we have the perfect format for that division to take hold in this country. Not only divide us, but also put fear. Fear, even more fear into us. Because now it's so much tension. White people don't want to talk about black folk. They won't talk to black folk. Black folk don't really want to see white folk. I know some say, well, I got black friends. Some say, I got white friends. Yeah. Ask them the question about what happened in Missouri and see what's being said. Because I did it. And I told them, hey, it don't bother me. Tell me what you think. And there is a division. There is. But that's the mantra of this country. It was built on division. It was built on fear. Why should anything change now? Why? And then, of course, just in case, there is a chance that we will have peaceful demonstrations, let's send in our gang stalkers. Oh yeah, let's send in our chaos makers. Let's send them in to guarantee that there would be nothing peaceful about this. That we will guarantee that there will be division, not only in this city, in this state, but in this country. It's a plan. It's working. It's slowly working. Let's show them. Let's see, we showed them during the Boston Marathon that we can shut down a whole city if we want to and nobody move. We've shown them that. But I think they have forgotten that little tidbit. So what we're going to do now, during this unrest in this little place, we're going to show them the new equipment we have that we will use, get what we want. A police state. Did they or did they not institute a curfew? Right? Did they or did they not have MRADs, LRADs? They had officers out there in riot gear standing across the line, called in the National Guard. Did they or did they not? These are the things that we need to really, really pay attention to. They don't want us paying attention to that, though. Now, since, okay, we got their attention now, let's hit them with the big one. ISIS is now enemy number one. They are in the U.S. They are coming to the U.S. They're coming through our borders because our borders are not secured. They're coming in because they're Americans. They're British. They have passports. They're coming. They are here. They are just animals. They care nothing about human life. They will kill you on sight. We must eradicate. We must destroy. They are going to attack us here in America. You see how this thing is built up, how they have slowly integrated everything into now. It's where they want it. They have the group that they want you to be afraid of. They have the country back in that fear factor that they always need us to be in. Because if we're not afraid, you know, we fight back. But if they can constantly have us fearful, then, oh, my goodness, you can control them. I'm just saying, y'all. You don't have to believe me. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there the way I see it. And it's not that hard to see. Now, through all this been going on, you know, immigration had died down. You hadn't heard much about immigration. But all of a sudden, immigration is back in the picture because terrorists are coming across the border from down south. And they are members of ISIS. They are members of ISIS. And of course, ISIS is much, much worse. ISIS makes Al-Qaeda look like a kid playing in a sandbox. Oh, I'm sorry. Most of them are in a sandbox, huh? My goodness. Are supposed to be afraid of. That is what they want us to be afraid of. Now, if you remember, after 9/11, Al-Qaeda was enemy number one. Osama bin Laden was enemy number one. Where has the majority of the so-called warmongers want us to go back and finish Iraq? Oh, yeah, we should have never left. We had it won. But we've given it back to them. They're so idiotic that they really believe that they had it won. They had liberated Iraq and everything was peachy king and we had who in office we wanted to put in office and everything was going fine. It's funny how things work, huh? I go back to the first statement I said when I first started talking. You cannot eradicate. You cannot kill. You cannot slow down. You cannot get rid of anybody who does not mind dying for what they believe. especially when the so-called government, the government that is supposed to be fighting you, is supplying you at the same time. What is going on? What you going to be able to do? Senators, congressmen, you can't wait to tear up some stuff up in there. You can't, because companies got to go back in there and rebuild. And who you think have stock in places like that? It's not me and you. Or some of you may. But it's just a ploy, y'all, to make us fearful, to take our minds off whatever going on over there, to make us scared, to make them think we're in dire danger here. We're in trouble. You can't have any more guns. Let's get our guns. Let's take them. Take their guns away. We can control them without their guns. But we need to get back in Iraq. And the easiest way is to pay someone to go in there, take over, destroy some things. We bomb some things. We destroy. And once it's over, everybody's back together. We take our companies in there. We rebuild. And everybody makes money. Except for the low man on the totem pole. That's me and you. And it's all a game. Now, if it takes a little bit longer than they think they will, they proceed, then yes, they will create another mass tragedy. Don't think they won't. They will not, because this they will. It's already in the works. Already in the works. Just buying time. Just buying time. Everybody want to complain because President Obama decided to go back on vacation after the beheading of Foley. Oh, he really didn't care. He didn't show any empathy. He didn't. Why? He already knew what was going to happen. It's no secret. There's no secret. False flags are all over this place. You just have to find them. If you look at a picture, on some of them pictures of Ferguson, you would see a picture of Ukraine, supposedly Ukraine general, in the crowd. Now, how does that work? How does that work? Too many false flags. But too many of us fall for it. Too many of us fall for it. I'm just putting it out there. I'm just putting it out there. Oh, I'm sorry. It says Photoshop. You can Photoshop it in, huh? Okay. All right, it's possible. You can Photoshop it in. Yeah, I'm taking calls. Soon I finish with my rant. But you couldn't Photoshop that those buildings in 9/11 falling straight down, could you? You couldn't Photoshop that. You can Photoshop the planes going into the side. But there's another piece of that was missing that I discovered earlier today. But we'll talk about that a little next week, because I have a caller with their hand up, and I guess that means people are tired of listening to me rant and rave and talk noise. I'm just trying to make you aware. I'm not trying to teach you anything. I'm just telling you what I think, my opinion, my theory. Because I have a lot of them. But anyway, enough of that. What we're going to do right now before I take this new call, we're going to go ahead and knock this commercial out for audibletrial.com. And when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines and get some more conversation going. All right, see y'all shortly.
Let's Talk is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/letstalk, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service.
All right, y'all. That was audible.com, audibletrial.com/letstalk. I mean, and again, they have so many titles and things you get a hold of, and business, classics, you know, for you freaky people, erotica, sexuality, you know, fiction, history, romance, mysteries, thriller, sci-fi, fantasy, you know, some of you need help, self-development. I mean, whatever you want, they got it. And that's audibletrial.com/letstalk. Let's Talk. And you can go there, man, and like you say, download any books. You sign up this month, you get a free book, free, you know, you without having to pay for it. If you sign up for the monthly subscription, you get a free book each month also. So that's pretty good, man, I tell you. I got mine already. I can't wait till the next month so I can get me some more things, books also, Audible books. But, hey, you can't beat it. You can take it wherever you want to go, drive it on a long trip. Hey, put it in your ear and listen to it. You'd be surprised. All right, so anyway, that's audibletrial.com/letstalk, and I hope y'all have a good time. So anyway, without any further ado, let me take some calls here, and let's see what we got going on. All right, let's see. All right, we have Mr. Joe on the line. Mr. Joe, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Joe. How are you doing?
Not bad, not bad. I just got here about 2 minutes ago, and I heard you talking about Iraq. And this is a red-letter day because you and I are agreeing on everything. I don't understand it, but you and I do agree on everything right now.
Yeah, it is a red-letter day.
So, oh, my God. Hey, I don't know about you. But I figured, at the time when we went into Iraq, I was gung-ho because I didn't know anything about false flags. I didn't know about the history of the government invading countries simply because they wanted to, et cetera.
Right,
but
right.
When, I'm not going to say we, because I'm not part of this military machine. I'm going to say the United States government. When Bush went into Iraq, didn't anybody say, and I think they did, that if we go into Iraq, meaning with the people's approval, isn't everything going to be broken up? Isn't the Shiite clan and the Sunni clan and the whatever other clan there was that were constantly at war with one another, if we broke up that particular stable environment, because even though they, you know, they were like the Hatfields and McCoys, Saddam Hussein had them in check. If we broke up that stable environment, didn't anybody say that once you did it, it was going to be like Humpty Dumpty? So everybody knew that if you went in there, all hell was going to break loose. Look at what's happening.
Looks what? Hey, that's it. That's it. And, but you see, Joe, and somebody did say that. Someone told them that. You can believe that. In fact, the some of the clerics there, the Muslim clerics, told them that that is what would happen. But nobody, you know, like you said, you know, everybody had their eyesight on that oil and the money, and it was just, okay, whatever. And then it was like, okay, if it happens, we come back and fix it all over again. You know?
That's the thing. That's the thing. Because everybody who had half a brain, half a consciousness about what was going on politically at that time, everybody figured within that particular ilk that we were going in there for oil. But you had mentioned something just a few minutes ago about Reconstruction, about going in there to Iraq and eventually fixing up the place. Yeah, that is the modus operandi of the CIA, and I don't know if you read the book, but I know you're aware of the book because we had talked about it on your show. Forgot the guy who wrote the book. It's called The Economic Hitman, so you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
That is the operation, the modality, the methodology of our particular government, which is to go into different countries and pretend we're their friend, give them loans which they can pay back, and then, as a matter of squeezing the hell out of the government, we then say, well, how about if we come in and help you do some, you know, some restructuring, some infrastructure changes, which means that everybody does get rich except, as you said, the low man on the totem pole. So we've got enough oil underneath our country if we really wanted to, and right now we're kind of exploring it. We have enough country to take care of us for 200 years. We are actually exporting oil as of last year, maybe even the year before. So maybe the big goal wasn't just oil. It was to go in there and make Iraq a satellite of the United States and have the United States contractors, the engineers, go over there and make sure by building houses and other military types of installations, etc. What do you think?
I think you hit it right on the head, Jeff. I think you hit a home run with that because you are so right.
Yeah.
I think you're right on that. You know, because, you know, it's amazing. And, you know, I don't know if you said you just came in, so I don't know if earlier you heard me read off all the little incidents that have gone on to help us get to this point. But it's just amazing at just how far they will go to get back in Iraq right now. Because they have to. They don't have to, but they want to so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, once again, this government has put someone in office that once they got in there, didn't do anything they wanted them to do. So you, as we've spoken a lot of times on the show, they have to go. They got to go. You know, this cat, Maliki, he went in there and he just threw all the Sunnis out of all of the little police departments, military offices, or whatever. So that automatically, you know, put them on the side against anybody who's fighting against the United States. And that is where the CIA came in and decided, okay, we got this new group. We make enemy number one and give the American people a bunch of false flags so they will support us going back into Iraq. You know,
if you notice,
we are steadily providing so-called, quote-unquote, advisors steadily going in. All these folk are not advising anything. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're preparing something for somebody else to come. So don't believe all these individuals that are being shipped over there as advisors are advising. No, that is not happening, y'all. You know, but, you know, that's what they want you to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm setting up. Go ahead, Joe. I don't talk for about an hour, 30 minutes, so I'll let you talk now.
No, you're right, because we have to set up the whole thing was a false flag, practically. It was a misdirected operation so that people would think, or at least the American people would think, they were over there trying to provide democracy for these people. But I don't understand how stupid Americans can be. You don't go over to another country, kill their men, women, and children, have about a million, but at least 100,000 refugees escape from Iraq to go into Syria and to go into the other neighboring countries because of the Marines and the other armed forces going in there, knocking down doors, killing people, and even making videos about it and bragging about it. And then the American people say, well, we went over there to help you. You're ungrateful. How the fuck do you – where do people come with these stupid fucking ideas?
Well, because
I can't curse you. We got a sponsor.
Oh well. Anyway,
so
look, it's simple, Joe. You know, before we do anything, you know, we have to get the rah rah going. USA, USA, USA. Mm-hmm. You know, get the national attitude all into one together. And while we do USA, USA, we number one, the powers that be are slowly easing in and setting up what they need to set up. So when push comes to shove, we behind them now because they have framed us with all the propaganda and what have you, you know, to where we will accept it because we believe them. The ones that don't know, believe them. So we have no problem. Now, once you get over there and all the atrocities start happening, oh, my God, really? Really? But then, once again, it's framed. See, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. They do it in commercials. They do it in grocery stores. They do certain things to frame your way of thinking to make you go the way the direction they want you to go in. That's easy. So what they do, they put a twist on it and say, well, you know, they're hiding certain things in houses and, you know, terrorists live here. So that makes it more credible when we go and kick doors in and, you know, kidnap kids, things of that nature. I'm just putting it out there, y'all. Y'all don't have to be mad at me. You know, I'm just telling you what my theory is. Of course, I know a little bit more than y'all do about the whole thing, but I'm just telling you what it's all about. Go ahead, Joe.
I think most of the listeners who come to your show probably in agreement with you anyway. I think most of the people who do come here do believe that the government is nothing more than one big atrocity machine, that the government isn't out to take care of anybody except itself, except only those 435 scumbags in Congress. Oh, maybe I did it again. I forget about your sponsor. Congratulations on that. But here's the thing. We don't – we're stupid. I don't care how you put it. If they put something in the newspaper, and the freaking Americans love that newspaper, love Time Magazine, love Newsweek, well, by golly, whatever is in that magazine has got to be true. So if that magazine says that we're in Iraq because we're providing democracy, well, gosh darn, well, that's why we're there. Did you know that, there, Gomer? Yeah. Well, freaking stupid Americans. Jesus,
that was funny. All right. Hold on. I got somebody else with their hand. So let me bring them in also. All right. Welcome to the show, 111. Who do I have here? You got Mr. Talk on the line.
Hey, what's up with you?
I'm doing
fine. Michael.
How are you doing?
Yeah, what y'all talking about? Yeah, I'm just doing it now. What's going on?
Michael, what I've told you about that?
I'll tell him.
I'm just getting off the beltway, man. Just walked in the door. I said, let me see what Mr. Talk talking about.
I'll tell him so you don't get pissed off at him. Okay,
yeah,
Michael.
Man, I was just in a traffic jam. I am pissed off.
Not talking about Eric, but that's all right. Mike, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about the reasons why we're in Iraq, okay? The short-term, intermediate-term, and long-term reasons. We believe, Eric and I, and probably you do too, and probably most of the other callers, believe that the government is over in Iraq not for the benefit of the American people nor the benefit of the Iraqi people, not even for oil, but for the benefit of defense contractors, construction companies, for Wall Street. Well, what do you think?
Of course that's going to play a part of it. Of course. I mean, rebuilding, you're going to have an infrastructure that's resources, jobs. I mean, if you've been over in the Middle East, they have a lot of civilian contractors over in Iraq, over in war zones. And, you know, they get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, like for a six-month tour, eight-month tour, $100,000, $140,000, because they're in a war zone, so to speak, as a civilians over there. So, yes, civilians, military get paid and things of that nature. That does come along with war because you're going to need people to rebuild. The reason why we have money or type of value of giving somebody something is because somebody is putting their energy into building something, and you never can get it back. Your energy, your work ethic is valuable. Even you have the craft. So yes, that's definitely a part of it. But see, when I listen to this politics, sometimes when I hear believe in how the American people are stupid, some people believe this, some people believe that, it just proves me right. Religion and politics are like one and the same. Because it's like people are being fooled. We are having a battle of trying to identify what is truth and what is bullshit. In all of our, you know, and I agree, there is false flags. False flags is factually a part of our system, a part of the CIA. They have a many lists that they have that talks about the CIA. So it is. They do use it in certain situations, but you have to determine when is something is a false flag and when some people are maybe doing some radical or killing somebody on their on their belief system, because people do that. They've been doing it since ancient of times. You had infighting in Iraq before America came over there. Muslims always fight against other Muslims. You can see it. So it's crazy. So us as American citizens and people around the world, we just have to differentiate what is real and what's, bull crap.
Well,
so you really don't even know sometimes. You really don't even know sometimes. Because,
well, Michael,
you know, if they keep things secret from us.
Okay, but you're saying all that, right? Here's my question to you. What do you think is real? Do you think that the unrest in Ferguson, Missouri is real? Do you think the Ebola scare is real? Do you even think ISIS is real?
Well, no. And Ferguson, see me, Ferguson, people say this is a, first of all, I don't know. See, when you talk to certain people on Blog Talk, they come from different environments. And I come from Baltimore, and unfortunately, we had police shootings. Unfortunately, people that were friends one day, they find up killing each other. So I know human beings can do some messed up stuff without the government being involved. So when it comes to a police shooting a kid, that's real. No one didn't plan that. The frustration of that community is real. Now, the aftermath, what they're trying to do, they may be trying to ploy, putting this picture up, trying to put propaganda. But those events, things like that happen in real life. People die on the street. Police officers abuse people. New York, Arizona, that's real. That wasn't no false flag. There's human beings and the police officer and authority demeaning somebody and taking their rights away from them. It happens all the time. People disrespect. People kill each other without the government being involved all the time in our lives. You know, so, and I believe, you know, the government does do certain things, so we just have to, you know, figure out what's real and what's not. That's all. But yes, I think that those events was real, but after the aftermath, I think they're trying to use propaganda.
All right. Well, Mike, I respect your opinion, because
I don't think that officer shot him and says, "Well, we're gonna just gonna be a false
Mike.
Flag."
Hold on,
that
Mike.
Interaction
hold,
between them was
hold
real.
Hold on, Mike.
It was a free fun.
Hold on. All right. And now I'm using your train of thought, what you just said, right? It happens all the time, everywhere. So, in this case, why publicize such a small place like Ferguson, Missouri, when things like this are happening all the time in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, Miami? No, I mean Florida. You know what I mean?
We publicize it. We publicize Chicago all the time.
Huh?
We
so why
publicize
not?
Publicize it. We, oh, no, hold on. Okay, hold on. We publicize it. Listen, we always publicize. We publicize Chicago, their violence. We read the stats on Blog Talk and the news all the time. We publicize Zimmerman. People always publicize the black-on-black crime all the time. They never publicize white-on-white crime. What I'm saying, certain events, we can't pick and choose. In our lifetime, Ferguson is a small town. Many things in our life, it's uncertainty. So a small town like Ferguson, that may be a sparking point for the whole nation. You never know what happened. If a small town starts lynching black people in America and CNN gets that small town is going to have uproar across this nation. So it doesn't matter. So what I'm saying is we have to have that dialogue, but we still have to pick and choose what's propaganda. Sometimes when you hear people talk, they're really not getting a lot of evidence and factual because they're not doing the research themselves. They're going about other people's research. So sometimes for you, or all of us, if we want to look at something, we have to say, you know what, I'm going to be my independent study. I got these facts with this man, so let me go do some research. Let me go look at some numbers and put it together.
All right. Thank you, Michael. And you know what?
But a revolution can start anywhere. It doesn't have to be in a big city.
You helped make my point that I made early in the show. You really did. I know you were like, huh? But I know you just came in. But you really did help make my point that I, you said the same thing I said earlier. And it was simple. Take a small town like this, create events such as this, and then
It spreads out across the nation, causing division, which and thus helps the government frame the rest of the nation's thinking with propaganda, and helps us help them create a public enemy number one. And now we can go all the way back into where Iraq and what have you, and make things happen.
No, no, I think the citizens, no, the citizens that are protesting, they're making it news. If he would have got, if they would have killed Michael Brown and the citizen didn't protest, we wouldn't have known about it. Come on, Mr. Talk. See, I think that you have a bias right now. I'm saying sometimes things in our society where human beings interact with each other, you're going to have protests and this. Those people protesting, that's not fake. That mother is crying. That mother hurt. That's real. They're out protesting. That's no government doing that. That's no government. That's not no false flag. You're saying they're protesting false? It's false flag. Those black people protesting is a false flag. No, I can't see that. That's real, bro. To me. So
okay.
That
is your opinion.
Right. Exactly. You know, right. I'm just going with a mother would say that this is not a false flag. We're protesting because my son is dead.
All right. It's not
real.
A false flag. In your eyes,
my
it's real.
Not coming in the house no more. It's real.
Right.
To her.
Just, you know, see that. You know, to me, just because she on television crying and boohooing, I'm not impressed by that. Hell, I know.
But no. But you, if it was one of our child, we would be on protest. And if it was your child, you'd go crazy. If it was my child, we'd go crazy. If it was Joe's child, he would sit there and go crazy. And guess what? He'll protest. I'm quite sure. So I mean, it is. I mean, you got to separate the real from the bullshit.
What are you protesting?
I'm protesting how my son got shot. We had witnesses and said my son had his hands up, and other people were saying that they killed my son. And I'm saying, what's going on? What are you talking
okay.
about?
All right. After protesting, then what?
Well, let's look at the positive as Florida.
No. You answer my question. After protesting, then what?
Okay. Oh, after protesting, we make sure we go to the court of law. Then whether they penalize him criminally or not, we're going to have a civil case, and we're going to get our money. Now that my son's death has sparked us, and all the whole nation, our community knows that there's 62% of black people in Florence, we can say, guess what? We can control the whole political system by our vote, and nobody can stop us. They can change their city council members by their vote because they are the majority of the people. Factually, nobody can stop them in Florence. So they can look in themselves and say, hold up, we can change. We can use this moment, this death, to be political in other ways. Because you can't say that Florence is like apartheid. The minority controls the majority, and it's crazy. So it is what it is. It's how you want to look at it, to each his own. But I support them out there.
Okay. Hold on, let me bring in another caller. I see him with their hand up. That's interesting thinking, Michael, but that's interesting. Thank you. Thank you for your opinion. All right, caller, area code 904. Welcome to the show. You got Mr. Talk. What's on your mind?
I have a question for Mike. Mike, after you've protested and after if it does go to court, if the verdict doesn't go your way, what's the next step after that?
Well, first of all, I can't kill and maim like the Indians did. I can't go and shoot out the chaos of the police. If it doesn't go well, then we must change policies and procedures. If they lose the criminal case, that we should take that anger and make sure the black people totally change that system politically, change the way the police force, the voters can do it. That's all I can say, sir. Killing each other, maiming, come on, we can't do that. Do you want a teenage boy shooting and killing the police? I'm saying we have to be strategically think. We have to use that anger in another type of way. We do.
No, you're
because
exactly
we can't
right.
win on that. What do you mean I don't get it?
No. I didn't say you don't. I said I agree with you. I exactly agree with you.
Right. Because in my life, I have to use my energy. Maybe I can use my madness and frustration in my craft. And be, you know, whatever. So I have to tune that energy into something else. So I think that we should get mad and say, we're going to take over this whole city. You know? And I think we all should learn from Florence, even in that small town. It doesn't have to, we always put, oh, this big event in New York City like the movies. No, small towns can, you know, spark our change too.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I was saying.
Okay, so here's my question then. What did we learn from Florence? I mean, from the protesting. What changed in that city?
Well, first of all, we got Obama, and we have political, even, it don't matter what race,
we
all
got
saying,
who?
Hold up.
We got
we
who?
Have people talk, we have people talking about how that small town was heavily militarized. Obama spoke on the situation, and they said, and he was going back to the history why some of these local agents have all this equipment. He said we need to look back and research it. So starting a dialogue and having people aware of what's going on, yes, that's a benefit because we're talking about it. People are now talking about why did this small town have all this equipment. Us talking about it may be trying to change things. They said, what about all that money they spent on a weapon? What about money for jobs? We can talk about that.
But the small town is run by the county sheriff. So the county sheriff actually got that equipment from the local police department.
Right.
What I'm trying to say is small towns that are associated with bigger cities within the sheriff's district, that's where they get some of their heavy equipment from. So really the equipment is coming from St. Louis. It's not really coming from the small town of Ferguson.
Right, the state. Right, it trickles down, sir. Right, I agree. Yeah, you're right. You have the funds.
And I think people are not understanding that equipment that was given, that has been issued out, isn't issued out from the town. It doesn't come from the town's money. It comes from the city of St. Louis. It's leased out.
Okay. So, I mean, even if that is the case, so we have right now this immediate discussion on the militarization of the police department, but in a couple of months, even 3 weeks from now, a couple of weeks from now, what do you think that conversation is going to be?
I thought you broke up there.
I'm sorry. I would try again. All right. After all this conversation, so-called conversation about the militarization of the police department, in a couple of months, what do you think that conversation is going about? Or is it just something to be talked about right now, and after that, nothing else is going to be said?
To be honest, I see this going down as this is getting the media attention now. Something else big will come up, and this will disappear. I hate to be that way, but it is going to happen.
Thank you. It's
going to happen. And to even show that example, there's still a plane missing in the Southern Pacific Ocean. When was the last time you heard anything about it? There was a plane that was shot down in Ukraine. When was the last time you heard anything of that? After this case?
Right.
Exactly. And you know what? Another big thing is going to come up, and this is going to disappear, and the media is going to leave Ferguson, and we're not going to hear a thing about this for about 3 or 4 months unless a trial starts right away. That's it.
That's my
belief.
We got the trial.
That is
pretty
my belief.
Well, we have October. They're going to go to the, I think they have the trial for, I guess they're trying to indict him, I guess. But that's going to happen in October. So we're going to hear a verdict whether he's going to go to trial or not in mid-October, and then the trial and stuff. So it may go on for like a year until they come down to a verdict.
I mean, and honestly, and even another example is the Trayvon Martin trial. I heard about when it first started, I heard about it for about 3 weeks. Then it just died down. Then the trial started, and then it raised back up. But after
back
the trial
up,
was
right.
on... Nobody cared about the city of Sanford here in Florida. Didn't hear anything else about it. Didn't hear any changes in anything. The only thing we heard was when Zimmerman decided to come up and do something stupid. That was it. And even when that happened, it was only on Zimmerman. It wasn't back to the trial. It was just on Zimmerman.
That's right. I agree. And you know what? And I think I used the example with Malaysia Flight 370. And Malaysia Flight 370. 2014. You know, everybody forgot about that one. So, you know,
it's crazy.
Everybody's. If you notice,
I still want to know what the.
But wait a minute, hold on for a minute, Joe. If you notice with that one, the family's not even complaining anymore. You see what I'm saying? They're not really asking for anything anymore.
But what about that military that shot them 200 people down? That's crazy. Innocent people.
But well, have you heard anything else about it?
And everyone said, I didn't do it.
Mike, but what,
Ukraine,
what,
they didn't shoot
what was the purpose of the the sensationalism behind the Malaysian Airlines being shot down? I still don't know what it was about. I know a couple
because
of Americans were on board, but other than that, what?
Because that's also another thing. Oh, go ahead, Mike. I'm
because real quick, because a couple of days prior to that, they were at war. They were at war with each other. So both militaries from both sides were saying, I didn't shoot, and they were blaming it on each other. Some military shot a commercial plane down.
Who was at war with these?
Hold on.
Ukraine and under.
Hold on. Before they get carried away. Now, that plane was shot down. It didn't have anything to do with the Ukraine. It didn't. Listen. It was payback from a few years ago.
Are you talking about the 1987 crash?
Yeah, it was a little political game going on to where the U.S. and the Allies were tried as, you know, on a tribunal, international tribunal, as war criminals. And since they couldn't get to the person that did it, what they did was,
is this fact or what?
And this was Putin's way of saying, well, we'll get you one way or another. You know, it was payback. It was payback.
You got to realize.
You know what, Mike? Don't make me pull it out.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're breaking up. I thought you paused.
All right. But it was payback. And also, if you notice on all these planes that supposedly shot down or missing, there are very important scientists and biologists and people, doctors and things like that on these planes. It's not a coincidence. You can believe that. It's not a coincidence at all. You know, so they may want you to think it's an accident or what have you, but no, these things are planned out ahead of time because, like I said before, there's no way you're going to send a passenger plane to a section, any country that you know is at war with each other or there's unrest. You just don't do that. You know? But go ahead. I think Joe was going to say something before I...
I still wanted to find out what the... what the motive was, what came out of it. I don't know if they found the transponders yet. So I still don't know what the was.
Which one
somebody
you talking about?
Somebody has the transponder.
The Malaysian. I'm not talking about the Ukraine. I'm talking about the Malaysian airline that was shot down. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Somebody has the black boxes, but they're not saying anything.
They found
right,
the black
that's what
boxes?
I'm saying.
The last time I heard any reports was the separatists had the actual black boxes, and they were supposed to return them to Malaysia, but we haven't heard anything else about it.
I didn't even know they recovered them. Okay.
Yeah.
Now the plane that disappeared, the first one with the pilot, just got off and it just disappeared. They haven't found that black box yet.
Which one are you talking about?
Haven't found the plane.
No, they haven't found the plane yet.
You said
the
pilot
planes.
Walked off. I don't know about that one.
Well, I didn't say he walked off. He just said he said goodbye or something, and then lost track of the radar, and they can't, they were getting a couple of pings, but then they lost the ping. So they can't find that plane. But I'm just saying, if someone's shooting down a commercial airline where normal citizens are on it, that's some serious stuff.
That's
some serious stuff, bro.
It's happened before in the Russian military is known for doing it. They did it in 1987 when they shot down a Korean plane by accident, thinking that it was a spy plane. They didn't actually acknowledge it until after the Russian Federation was put in place. So, but it's on Russia. It's in Russia's history book to do stuff like that, and not.
And that's some sick shit.
Sit there and deny.
And that's some sick stuff. Right. And that's some sick stuff.
That's the rest of the world we live in. You think the world is sane?
Right. And you're going to think, oh, yeah, we did it, Russia, we did it, we was bad for that. They ain't going to say that. Because everybody denied it. So.
Well, of course. Of course they're going to deny it. And, you know, there's no secret. Everybody knows who's doing what. Everybody know why they doing it. You know, if you notice, all the stuff that Russia has been doing lately, do you see us pushing to go in there anywhere? Do you see us bombing anything in there? Hell no. Because regardless of what happens, we're still in the same, same banking system, and we still are working together.
You know what? I thought something jogged my memory. The United States government, the Navy, shot down a Korean airline in 1983.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that until a few days ago. Until last month, anyway.
That's crazy. Right.
You know,
wow.
So hold on for a minute. Hold on. All right, y'all, we got 10 minutes left in the show, the live show. So if you want to continue to hear the conversation, you need to get on the sport, get on the phone. You can call in 347-838-8622. Now, if you're in the chat room, you can stay in the chat room and carry on the conversation there, but you will not be able to hear the live conversation as we continue on in the overtime. All right? So get on the phones. 347-838-8622. Thank you very much.
Well, listen to you, Eric. You sound like a real pitchman.
Hush,
yeah.
Joe.
I told you when you made that recording about 2 years ago or so, I said that you sounded good on that advertisement on that recording that you made. So
I've been practicing.
You've been practicing, yeah. So you're going to make some money off of this Audible talk and probably get some more. You know what? Since I'm the first one to have come to your show 2 years ago, don't I get like a residual or anything like that? No? All right. Okay.
No,
all right. Just ask.
No.
Okay. You know what? You know, we'll talk offline about that. I may have
I know the answer is going to be offline. We don't need to talk offline about it. Thank you, Joe. But, no.
Oh, I may have a position for you in my firm.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Wow.
In sales and marketing, I'm there.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about right there. But, you know, it's amazing, though. If you take and look at all these things and you just take little bit pieces from here and there and there, you'll get a picture. You may not be happy with the picture that you get, but you will get a picture about what's really going on. And it's amazing because it's done so, so smoothly. You don't know it's happening until after it's done. You know, like this Malaysia plane that's missing. Really? How long has it been now? And you haven't found not nothing? Not anything?
Well, if they found the transponder, didn't they find any wreckage?
They ain't found nothing. That's what I'm saying.
He just said they found the transponders.
Well, no. I was talking about that was the one that was shot down over Ukraine.
Yeah,
oh,
the one that they found.
Yeah, but 370, they haven't found anything. Anything.
Well, you know what? That's not kind of suspicious. Do you know in the history of all of aircraft, I believe, in all of the world and all of the nations with all of their airplanes, any airplane, every airplane that has been down, they found the transponder. Now they can't find one?
Yeah, don't forget this.
Right,
don't
forget. Especially with more technology advanced, too. This is crazy.
Oh, God.
And listen to me. I'm in technology. If anyone knows anything about computer hardware, even with the CMOS battery, they could, in the pain system, they could have a lithium battery. can last more than 3, 4, 5 years. I'm telling you. They can do it. We have it in our batteries, and people wouldn't say, oh, batteries run out. No, they use certain batteries to go to space. I'm telling you. They use multiple technology when they send satellites. Exactly. But I'm saying batteries can run for a long time.
Yeah.
Those small batteries, that can it can give a ping off for 5 or 6 years. I'm telling you. If you're in technology.
Isn't the theory that the black boxes are buried so deep into the oceans that they can't be found, and the ping or the telemetry from the box can't be
Everything's travels. It's written, no. The time lift may be less. See, the ping, when you ping, you one of the ping, you can measure how long and what's the distance from that transmitter to the receiver. You can tell many things about a ping that you can get off of.
Yeah, but what I'm asking,
pings,
Mike,
it may not be as quick.
All the transponders buried so deep into the ocean that the radio waves will not be able to get through the surface.
Well, that may be so. I'm not familiar with that. But with technology, everything is so faint. I mean, we should build more, sophisticated systems on land to pick that up. They were talking about how the computers can pick up so many vibrations out of I was hearing somebody off of a leaf. When you have a leaf blowing or something like that, they can pick up the vibrations off of that. So, I mean, I think we should learn from this. Black boxes should not be law. I mean, that's the purpose of a black box. If I was the family, I would sue the black box company. What the hell?
Why
sue the black box
company? No, I understand what you're saying.
Why?
It's defective.
Okay.
Because I mean, not
because
sue,
they,
I mean,
if they're supposed
at least
to
have some
work, but yet they're not working in today's
right
day and time.
I should do that. I was wrong. Not sue.
Right, but you gotta understand.
Have some manufacturing type of improvement.
Right,
that's all I'm saying.
But how the black box system works, you can't locate the black box if it's on the plane. It doesn't. The black box doesn't really activate until impact. So that EPIRP that it has on it does not start sending a signal until after it indicates it's has a major impact.
I'm not sure about that. I'm thinking that transponders go into become activated if anything within the plane that's of major consequence, of real significance within the plane itself, if it shuts down. For example, if the control towers can't get a hold of the pilot, then maybe the transponders might automatically come on. I may be wrong about that, but for some reason I'm thinking.
No, it's an automatic thing. Evidently what's surrounded and what's holding the black box, if that comes loose, it sometimes automatically does it. It's a mechanical mechanism, so it's automatically going to trigger that. Now the voice recording, that's always going to be off, but that could be turned on or off manually. I didn't know that. But as far as the pinging and the crash, that's always going to happen. But sir, if that happened, where's the ping? It still didn't work.
Well, that's why I'm asking. If theoretically, of course, I'm theoretically, that means the CIA had something to do with it. But if it went into the ocean, is it buried so deep that theoretically the telemetry from the transponders won't be able to reach through the surface of the water? I don't know.
Well, you have to look on many other cases. How long did it take for the plane was crashed for it to sink down to the bottom of the sea? I don't know.
Hold on. Here's the problem I have with all that kind of theory right there. Number one, with all these satellites we have in space and all that, somebody somewhere should have seen something. Okay. Number two, as far as transponders and black boxes or whatever, that's fine. But this plane never crashed. It never crashed because I don't believe, number one, it never crashed, okay? It didn't. And I really, really, really doubt, if it did crash, why aren't the families still fighting to find out what's going on?
Well, then maybe we're not hearing about it.
I look all the time, Joe, and I see nothing at all about it. Yeah, I don't see anything about it at all. Except for Malaysia that went from a publicly traded company to private.
Yeah,
well, maybe they're not writing about it. Maybe this, look.
No, John.
Yeah.
I was just saying, for us to be technology, something is wrong, because if we can still get messages from Voyager and we can't get a message from a little computer box on Earth, something's wrong with our technology. That's all I'm saying. They need to check the manifesto of these black boxes. That's all.
Well, it may be,
we need to step our game.
It also may be the way that the satellite is passing by a certain quadrant in the Earth, on Earth. I mean, yes, we're able, from one satellite, we're able to ping Yeah,
you should be able to triangulate.
We were able to triangulate the ping. But the thing
we use like 13.
Well, we have so many satellites. Yeah, you're saying we have so many satellites. The question is what satellite and what area on Earth, on what area was it based? And on top of that, I'm sorry, focused on, and how far off, how far up was it? Because you have mid-range satellites, you have long-range satellites, and then you have satellites that are just in a position like GPS satellites are that can calculate things like that. So you can have a bunch of satellites, but if it's not in the right place at the right time, you're not going to get it.
Man, I'm telling you, they should have called in the Justice League. The police,
eventually it's going to get over to that point, though, sir, but eventually it's going to get to that point on that geographic ride. I got you.
Well, within about an hour, it's back there again, because I think satellites travel at 36,000 miles per hour or something like that.
Right, but if it's a satellite that it takes 24 hours to rotate around and get back to the same position.
I don't think it's a, maybe, but I don't know if it does. Yeah.
Well, are we aware of how big this plane is for it just to vanish, disappear, no sign, nothing?
You're asking a satellite to look for a plane that to us looks big, but to the satellite in a camera view, pretty much probably a needle, the tip of a needle.
Nah, I disagree with you on that. The satellites can
photograph
license plates. If they can photograph license
That's fine, though, but you're asking... Okay, that's fine, but you're asking a satellite to now... I want you to focus on this plant, this vast area, and I want you to see if a plane is falling from the sky.
Right.
In an amount
of time, and it has to come back around.
Right.
Well, no, I'm not even talking about real time. I'm talking about scanning at a certain period of time, because I don't think all the plane debris can, sink to the bottom of the ocean that quickly. So we have to have a time, too. I'm just saying they can't look at the debris of the sea and scan or do something to see where some
of course they could have. Of course.
Well, yeah.
They could have, but the thing is that what the argument he's making is that it's going to take 24 hours for a satellite to make its circuit again. And I'm saying I don't really know. And I'm also thinking that whoever's putting up these so-called weather satellites, intelligence satellites, et cetera, they probably have backup satellites in order to perform the triangulation, which means that they have satellites that probably will not pass out of... No quadrant is probably out of a satellite's range. I'm guessing now. 6 minutes.
But when you think about satellite technology, you can't think about one satellite. There's multiple satellites working together. It's like 13, global set, right.
Yeah.
To get your GPS system on your phone, it's 13, right?
Yeah. That's amazing.
It's 13, 12.
We take that for granted.
I forgot. I don't know.
We go into our car or our cell phones. We can actually get information from our cell phone about where to go 100 feet away from where we are now by asking a machine that's traveling around 36,000 miles around the Earth, 36,000 miles per hour around the Earth. That, to me, is like, Jesus Christ.
But
wow.
Have you heard about the new car technology? Now, I want to get your opinion on this. It's called V2Z. Look at it. In the next 3 years, or to the next 5 years, this government has already passed that the new cars will be produced with this new technology. And if you don't have a new car that's built, you're going to have to go to a mechanic and you're going to have to have it installed on your car. What it is that basically all the cars of the vehicles, they're going to be in a network. And let's say if you're driving 30 miles an hour and someone is in front of you, have their brakes on and they're stopped and you're about to hit them, your car is going to veer to the right or to the left, or it's going to automatically stop on its brakes on its own. Germany wants to be accident-free in the next 3 years. It's already over in Germany, and it's coming to the United States. So you're not going to have no cars running into each other no more.
So hold up.
The drawbacks is because the information that may be stored, people say, okay, people use the satellite, Questar, anywhere, all that type of stuff. I have it in my car. But it's going to end accidents. But my question is, if so, what is that going to do with the insurance rates? It must drop. What is that going to do about collision repair shops? Because it's not going to be no big damage unless somebody run into a wall or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that going to affect industry? That's all. But it's coming. This government passed it. In the next 5 years, you will have it if you'd like.
Yeah, well, my reasoning is, because I'm a conspiracy theorist, is that they want to make sure that they have us pinpointed everywhere we go, everywhere we are, from our cell phones, through the car, through everything.
That's not...
Well, anyone who has a BMW from 2010 and now, you have that technology in there. It's already in there. Matter of fact, BMW were the ones who researched it and designed it. And it's now moved over to Audi. It's now moved over to Porsche. I mean, yeah. By the end of in the next 3 years, every car is required to have some type of anti-collision system in it.
I do have one. It's called my foot.
Oh.
I hate to tell you this, but your foot, I mean, what do you guys think about it?
I think it's a ploy. I think it's an extension of the United States government in conjunction with the other governments to make sure that they can keep tabs on us.
I'm saying getting technology. That's all I want to say.
You can already say that with your phone, because the phone that you have has GPS system in it already.
So now they're backing up their their system.
I'm tired of these anti-technology, people. We got to get on them.
Who's anti-technology?
I think you are sometimes, Joe.
Me?
Yes. Because some people have this rhetoric going around.
But Joe,
you know, sometimes people have this rhetoric like it's anti-technology. Like sometimes we can't control and say, hold up, that's not that. You know?
I'll tell you what I am anti in terms of technology. AI. If that thing ever gets even halfway...
Artificial intelligence?
Yeah. Oh, we're in big fucking trouble.
Okay, here's the problem with artificial intelligence, and it's something that I think people totally forget about. A human had to create part of that. Okay? Yes, artificial intelligence is supposed to be autonomous, but it still is based off of the human who programmed it. So there's still limitations to what artificial intelligence can do and cannot.
Thank
do.
You, sir. That's what I try to tell him. I tell you that he knows
oh, really?
What he wants in technology. Yes.
Oh,
man
really?
Will always
okay.
control. Yes.
Here's
he
a fly in the ointment.
Go ahead.
Artificial intelligence
ahead.
Means exactly that. It will be absorbing knowledge, using its brain at thousands of times faster than the human brain.
That's
as a
fine.
Result.
Joe.
Do you mind?
That's fine.
Did I interrupt
but
you?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm talking to Mike. He's got a...
Oh.
No, Joe, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Here's the thing. Once it does that, then the theory is, and it's a very good theory, is that once it starts realizing it, what it is, it becomes a semi-conscious being, a sentient being. Then it's going to ask itself, because of the speed in which it absorbs information, assimilates information, identifies a particular problem, solves problems, it will be going at the speed of light. Once it starts doing that, it's going to ask itself, why the hell do I need these puny little humans for? And then what have you got? You've got the Terminator.
Everybody goes to that same argument of Skynet. Here's the problem with that.
Okay.
Understanding, yes, it is autonomous. Yes, it's going to learn. Still has a memory problem. It can only have certain some amount of a memory. If we set a memory limit, it can only go but so far.
Well, then it's not artificial intelligence. It's a very limited robot. It's like it's like the OS in her.
No. Understanding that, but the thing is that we're giving it the ability to learn, but we're only giving it a certain amount of capacity to actually keep memory of what they've learned. See, what happens is with technology and with computers or with anything that you have a set of codes that give a set of instructions, after a amount of time, it caches a lot of stuff. And when you have too much cache, it slows down
Americans come in, not Americans, but technicians come in and they increase the RAM and then they increase the CPU speed and then they
That's
increase, right.
right.
So
yeah,
that's why
Washington, they embed the L1 and the L2 dies into the CPU, so, you know, the cache is already inside.
But that's
the
what the artificial intelligence is going to do.
But no.
It's programmed in order for it to make improvements on itself.
Right, but that's the thing. You still have a control. You still have a control over the artificial intelligence because you're only giving it a limited amount of memory.
But then it's useless to society, because if you're only going to give it, like, 2,000 gigabytes of RAM, okay, and the CPU speed is going to be about maybe 100 gigabytes.
No, you're talking about the front side of Airbus, it depends on that. You got to get the CPU RAM speed. I mean, the RAM goes off of the CPU speed, the front side of Airbus, right.
So you set the limits. Within those limits, it will make improvements on itself, because who's going to know what the critical mass is of where the autonomy starts and the programming by humans ends.
Right, but listen, but hold on. I just want to say something. Having this conversation, do this, Joe, for the weekend as a buddy. Mm-hmm. Please do this.
Okay,
go rent the movie Transcendence. Go with it. Is that Red Box? Just go with that. Don't look at that movie and say that's all it's going to be. I think that's where your mind is going at. And if you look at it, is a way to shut it down. What we're saying is, there is never can be nothing perfect. The man will always have the control. He is the creator
of
everything.
You think so, huh?
Everything he has, yes, has a bug. So I'm
right,
exactly.
Well, I'm disagreeing with you, because somebody somewhere in some university is going to say, all I got to do is make a little adjustment here, and my name will be all over the scientific journals. And then when that happens, AI takes off. Then they start thinking, or it starts thinking, I don't need you.
Can't. Because you're giving it its commands.
Hold on. You're giving it its limitations.
You're giving it its functions, its methods, its, you know, its parameters.
Okay. Ah, dang. Got the screen on my own show. I said, hold on. He steady going. I think he back in he on the show or something. All right. Anyway. Well, I was listening to the conversation about y'all, and I think like this. If it's really AI, as y'all call it, I think it would have to be what they said on I watched Real Steel, a robot movie. What they call it,
adaptation?
You know, it's constantly self-evolving, you know.
Self-adaptation.
Yeah.
Self-adapting to the environment.
Right, and if that is the case, then I'm kind of with Joe. Eventually, it's going to get to the point and say, "What I need y'all for?"
Yeah, exactly.
It's the meaning of self-awareness, though. But what is that difference in self-aware? Are people really self-aware of themselves?
Well, maybe you're not, Mike, and that's been proven.
You do not remember when you walk. Right. You do not remember your first steps, but your family does. So there's things that you have about your life that you don't remember.
I love
you. You're not a self-aware. You are not a self-aware when your first steps.
Oh, God.
So total self-awareness.
Somebody help
what
me.
Do you mean by that?
But Michael, you may not be when you take that first step,
He's
but eventually you're self-aware. Right? Eventually you become self-aware of what you're doing, right? There is no where. It's yes or no.
Would the artificial intelligence have belief in it, or would it be all
yes
facts?
Yes or no.
With the artificial intelligence, will it have a belief system? Does it?
See, there you go. I don't want
to. I love it when Mike shows up.
But he has a point. But Mike has a point.
What?
Technology does not have emotion. Oh, yeah. No, I understand it's my point, too, but technology doesn't have emotion. Technology has a set of code that it has to abide by, and it has rules.
Not if it's going to be autonomous.
Yeah.
I saw a video years ago where there was a simplified invention, a very simple invention. It was all metal, and they just let it run autonomously. It wasn't like AI, but it let it do its own thing on its own for a while. And they noticed that it had adapted self-preservation instincts. All metal. Now, if that's the case, then AI will surely develop a type of consciousness. It will become a sentient being, and it will say, goodbye to all.
Would it have love or hate? Would it have love or hate in it? How can you program love or hate? I mean.
Because it will
be,
because it will want more and more information. It will need more resources.
But it's
going to
make decisions. Would it make decisions on love and hate? We make decisions on love and hate. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Because you cannot talk. It's something special about a human being.
Because
we have that emotion.
Flesh and blood, that anything made out of metal, okay, will not be able to develop into a sentient being.
No, we are mechanical. Joe, we are mechanical.
Wait a minute. Let me ask this question. Since we're on that, who said that having emotions or all that was a necessity to being, you know, autonomous? Why would you want it to have emotions?
Well, you don't want it to have emotions.
Exactly. So what I'm saying, what are we talking about here then?
But it will develop an emotion of self-preservation. It will develop information, the ability to not only absorb, as I've already said, but to use that information to come up with new ideas.
Right. Okay.
All right.
So what I'm saying, Joe, what I'm saying is, instead of emotions, you know, I think we need to choose a better word than emotion. Because when you use emotion, then you get into a whole different realm of, you know, then you're saying it has a personality.
Right.
Right. It will become a sentient being. It will feel.
That's what I'm trying.
Yeah.
But who's programming it? How is he making
exactly.
a decision whether...
A human
it's programming
it.
Itself. That's why it's AI.
But why? Who's getting it to that point, though?
The scientists that have created the AI have put in the
code
that it is self-replicating, it is self-sustaining, it is autonomous. Hopefully we don't have that, but they will. And then the thing will take off and say, you know what? I can take care of myself. I don't need humans. What I need are, like, precious metals maybe that I can get. I might need humans to develop something on my transistor or something like
perfect?
That.
Would it be perfect?
It'll become perfect, yeah.
No, hold on. Okay, now.
Just a good example of what could happen. Remember Star Trek with Deidre, which ended up turning out to be Voyager? Remember how it came back and it wanted to meet the creator? And no matter what you tried to do.
Oh, yeah, the old Star Trek, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it can happen like that. You know,
okay, but wait. If you're going to take that concept.
What?
But if you're going to take that concept, Voyager was launched in 1979.
Right.
It means that it took a long time to evolve to even what Captain Kirk and Dr. Spock saw.
Okay, to us, see, here's the thing. To us, it would seem like as though it has taken a long time because we don't know what's out there anyway. So, how do we get on? Well, I tell you, we can get in some talks, some conversations.
Yeah, but to pick up from where you're going, I mean, to a machine, time is almost irrelevant. I mean, time is eternity.
You know, to a machine, time is come on, bro. I work on time is everything in a machine. What are you talking about?
Basically,
it's everything in our computer.
Mm-hmm.
The BIOS checks the measurements, you know, all of your systems, your virtualization,
Michael,
all that.
Sometimes I wonder
if you
actually listen to what people say.
Okay, so I'm listening, Joe, because you're contradicting yourself.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
If I overclock the CPU, I have to get more fans to cool it down. I'm overclocking. I'm talking about time.
Well, when you're talking about overclocking the CPU, what you're talking about is to making the PC
if I use
CPU
DB3,
very, very fast.
Right, exactly. Right.
Right.
Okay.
So perhaps in the world of technology, maybe in the future, a machine which is made out of metal.
And,
why
and what about synchronizing
time?
My RAM? And what?
What
about synchronizing my RAM?
What about it? Man?
What about synchronizing my RAM? I can synchronize that to top the clock speed.
Do you really think
up 4 to 3 times?
So
I mean, up
really,
to 8 times.
I'm not even going to
take him out back in the bush and synchronize with him. I mean, we don't care about synchronizing your RAM.
Well, he just said a computer doesn't worry about time. It does, Joe. And you're talking about self-aware. It has to be aware about global time, global satellites, where it's all about time.
I'm talking, and I know I'm not going to make a dent. I'm talking about a very advanced technology like HAL, like the Terminator, that kind of thing. I'm not talking about the ordinary desktop computer that we use.
I understand where you're going, Joe, but at the same time, I guess Mike and I are talking reality and you're talking fantasy.
Well, I'm talking advanced technology, which seems very logical.
Yes,
yeah.
You're talking something that is very logical and that can happen, but in the age of now,
the technology of now,
it would not happen.
But with Ohm's law, which means that the memory doubles every 2 years, give it 20, 30 more years, what have you got? You've got indefinite time. You've got unlimited time. You've got time. You've got a CPU, which is so fast, it is amazing. Then, of course, you were going to develop RAM, and then maybe we'll even get away from that. Maybe we'll have super transistors that'll make our laptops look like, walk in the park.
That's a good point. Interesting.
I can't disagree with that. Yes.
Yes. All right. Anybody else? Michael, anything else you want to say about it?
I'm just saying, I was going to say power source, and he would, go and challenge me on that. Oh, they control that. They'll be able to control that. I just want you to watch that movie, Joe.
I saw the trailer for Transcendence. It makes my
day. Yeah. Well, you should watch the whole movie. Watch the end of it.
Okay.
Oh,
that's all I want to say. Good conversation, guys.
Watch the end of it, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend $15 to go to the show. And I'm going to sleep until the end.
That's what I thought of. Yeah, I know, right?
But that's the movie for the weekend. That's the movie for the weekend, guys.
Yeah. Okay. I'll wait till it comes out on YouTube.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I ain't going to lie to you. Long as they're football on, I ain't watching no movies. That's all I got to say.
With the internet, you can, as far as I'm concerned, time is today. Because there are movies or TV shows that have came out years ago. I haven't seen them until now. As far as I'm concerned, they're brand new.
I'll be honest with you, though. A lot of things that they're showing on television as far as robotics and technology, it's already here. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. It's already here, and in a lot of instances, it's already in action, or it's already being applied to the everyday life. Like the commercial where the robot gets out the car and starts running away.
Come on, the Geico commercial or the Allstate
commercial?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. The military has one. What they call it, a goat or a mule, where it walks behind them and carries all the gear.
I've seen that. Climbs up hills.
It's not as far-fetched as we would like to think, some of us would like to think it is. So, we just have to be open about it. But as far as the car stopping on its own, they're going to have to ticket me on that one because I won't be able to stop.
You already passed it.
They're ready to test for something like that on the Autobahn. Yeah. They had a bus or a car.
This
drives.
Is coming from Germany.
Yeah.
It's German technology.
Yeah.
I hate to tell my big brother this, but your vehicle actually has in it. It has it in your van. I'm just saying.
If it has it in there, they haven't activated it. They better not.
No,
Mr. Talk, I guarantee when you back up. I'm sorry. Sir.
Wait, hold up, man. Hold on, Michael. My brother talking to me right now. Hold up. Wait a minute.
I'll try to help my brother out. No, I'm serious. You have this system in your car.
Okay.
Because your sensor, you have a backup sensor in your car.
Okay.
Yes, you do.
You want a BMW?
You can feel you break. When you back up, Mr. Talk, I guarantee you can feel it a little bit. Your car pump a little bit before you hit. I'm telling you.
My car pump a little bit before I hit.
It will stop a little bit. It will stop before you hit. I'm telling you.
Sex
it
in the
does
tailpipe.
That.
All
it's
right.
A new TV show, Sex in the Tailpipe.
Yeah.
You got something on the back, Mr. Talk.
know what I'm doing next time? Next time I have a little drink, I'm going to back up in the driveway and see if it'll stop before I hit the car.
Yeah, see if you have a pump.
No,
there.
Mr. Talk,
no.
You will be able to feel it. Mr. Talk, you will be feeling it. I mean, you'll feel it.
No, please don't do that, because I do not want to have that 2 o'clock phone call of you calling me on like, you wrong, I didn't have that system in it. I'm like, no, you had it in there, you just didn't use it right.
Oh my goodness, right, this is dangerous. Yeah, we can't say this. Oh my goodness, this is dangerous.
Okay, this is how to talk with you. Look, this is how to talk with Jonathan. No, this is how to call. Oh, yeah, like, Jonathan, I'm glad I got insurance.
I just went to my garage. You better be calling the chain, huh? You better be calling your insurance, man. Don't call me.
Pump your brakes. Oh, hey, man, we got to pump our brakes on this one.
Those brakes. Go down. Get that tailpipe ready.
Yeah. Yeah, that's.
Oh, I can just see robots and a robot cartoon and a freaking tailpipe.
But one thing it shows, I just want to say that it shows that Congress will pass some technologies, and they will force it on the citizen. I do agree with that, Joe. I mean it's clear.
Of course,
so
you know what, Mike? That's why your drugs.
Everybody had that point.
You know, that's why your drugs cost so much today, because they'll pass it because they making money off of it. So of course they're going to pass it, you know?
Well, I think our insurance rate should drop. I'm saying if they pass it, me as a citizen, my insurance rate should drop. That's all.
Yeah. Well, what?
It should. And
okay.
Us as citizens should protest that in our state.
I'm going to see you on TV.
We should protest that, Joe.
No, but
come
Mike, it should decrease your insurance, but you want to know why it will not increase? It's because you bought a car that has higher you have more technology in your vehicle, and on top of that, your car now becomes more valuable if it's stolen. So your insurance is going
to
be
right stolen, right? Right, but I know, but it's less likely to ever get in. Well, my car may not be totaled though, unless someone runs into the wall. It can't go into. So we have to have a balance here. Come on,
I agree with Mike on this one. I mean, if you're going to have a collision-proof type of network setup, then you don't need collision insurance, and they'll be out of business.
Well, Michael, you know,
someone can run into a wall, like Mr. Talk. He can back up into a pole. You know?
Oh God, Mike! Pole, tailpipe, Jesus, Jesus! No wonder you're dangerous.
Back up into that hole. Shoot, God dang it! What's wrong with you? Know what? I thought about it. You know,
Mike dead twice.
Mike,
why
are you shooting Mike, man?
You still walking.
Won't be able to find Mike until you find the transponders now. Bang, bang.
All right, y'all, man. I got to get out of here. You know, I got to go play basketball with the youngest. Like, that's going to be some fun. But anyway, of course, y'all go ahead and get your last words in. We're going to start with Michael, because I know Michael's going to take the longest. So go ahead, Mike.
No, I'm not. Look, great conversation, and I still think it's what's true and what's not true. And all of us are trying to figure that out. And we have to separate what's true and, you know, what's bullshit. And we always have to do it and just try to, you know, have critical thinking. And I'm serious, guys. If they're going to pass this, us as citizens, insurance rate, it should drop down. They're not talking about that.
You couldn't let it go.
And, well, Joe, that's, well, we have to be political in some ways. But I just want to say something. You know, Joe, please watch the movie this weekend.
I have time, Mike. I got a tailpipe. I got a visit.
Yeah. Hey, I tell you what. Why don't y'all Skype each other and watch it together?
Okay, that's the end of this show.
All right. Have a nice one. Good conversation.
All right. All right. Oh, man. My favorite little brother, Jonathan, what you got for me?
Oh, it was a good conversation today. Technology is good. So
I wish I could say you shouldn't be paranoid about it, but in the end, technology is good and bad. People who use it for good, they know what they're doing. People who use it for bad, they're just out there to get something from you. Joe, you have every right to be paranoid, but at the same time, it hasn't gotten to that phase yet where you have to start worrying about a robot coming in your house and taking over, man.
They're already doing it. They knocked on my door last week. They said, my name is Michael. I am here about insurance. So,
what you talking about? They call you on the phone anyway.
Yeah, those are robo calls.
Yeah, what they say, please stand by. Please stand by for the next available agent. Really? I'm sitting here holding the phone for you? No.
No, I'm still... No, I know Mike is off the air. Otherwise, if he heard me, he would have said something.
He's on mute.
No.
He's on mute. Okay. He's in the corner. I put him in the corner.
We should all start a Kickstarter for Mike. So when this happens, he has his money to pay his insurance company.
Because
his rate's going to go up.
Yeah, he won't buy stock in insurance companies. Stocks will go down, so he's not going to buy any stock in insurance companies.
Right. And speaking of money for insurance company, make sure y'all stop by audibletrial.com/letstalk. You know, hey, every time y'all sign up for a 30-day trial, I my show gets some money. That's supporting the show. Hey, I'm just putting it out there, okay?
I went to the site. I just didn't download anything. Oh.
Well, Get your free 30. I mean, only thing I do is sign up for free 30 days. That's it.
And I
make five. Help me out. All right. I'm sorry, Jonathan. We just started talking again.
No. I'm done. Joe,
yeah, it's over to me. Well. All
right.
Okay. AI, I am afraid of you like you wouldn't believe. Once you're developed, and you will be, because there will be these overly curious scientists, and there will be DARPA trying to look at AI as a means of conquering the world, then AI will definitely come to existence. And we've already got the drones. We already have the beginning of Skynet. So,
true.
All right. So those are my last words. Hopefully they haven't developed it by now, and I can come back next week.
All right. All right. Thank you, Joe, and I appreciate it. Oh, man, what a good show today. Man, I'm telling you, outstanding. I want to thank everybody for staying with me, joining me, and I'm still listening. As far as AI, I'm not scared of it. I'm not. I embrace it. That's a fact. But here comes the contradiction. Okay, it's like this, man. With AI, I'm not scared of it, but I don't trust it either. You know, I don't. You know, because I do believe that any machine given the right guidance eventually is going to start evolving and realize that, hey, I can do this without any those called people with that red stuff running through them. So I'm not scared of them, but I don't trust them. I don't. Men, if you have a wife, you know, and you know, y'all have fun, maybe you need to worry about AI, you know, because they are making certain things for the women now that have their own mind and their own speed, and you may want to be leery of that. Maybe some of y'all need to be scared of that, all right? Now, that's an adult joke, so if you don't get it, then oh well. All right, but anyway, we're going to get up out of here, man, because it's been fun. It's Friday. As I said, I got to go play ball with the youngin'. We got a game going on. I'm leading 5-1, but we got to go to 10, so he's going to try and dunk on me today, so I got to get him. Anyway, but thank y'all for joining me. It's been fun. You know, Freedom Friday, this has been one of the better ones, that's for sure. I want to thank Joe, Michael, my little brother, Jonathan. Hey, thank y'all for joining us today in the conversation. Of course, my chat room coordinator, Antoinette, thank you, darling. Divine Design was here. Joe in the chat room. We got Jonathan. We got guest 1441, Robert Redwine. All y'all, everybody, man, just thank you. Vern,
I see you out there. Thank you, brother, because you may not say much, but you're always here listening, man. Thank you, and I do appreciate that. Area code 661, thank you also. Much love to everybody. Don't forget Monday is – it's Monday, so whatever. Whatever we talk about Monday. It's Monday. I may sit down and figure out something, or I may just come in blank and go from the top of my head. Who knows? But either way, we're going to have us a show Monday. All right? So it's been fun. It's been fun. It's been fun. I want everybody to enjoy your weekend. You know, get out if you have a chance. You know, if it's too hot, you know, go out early or go out late. But in the middle of the day, stay out of the heat, you know. Unless you're young, you can just, you know, you can take it like me. But anyway, just enjoy yourself. Remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with an open heart, but make sure you're forgiving yourself first. And the biggest and best thing, learn to laugh at yourself. If you can learn to laugh at yourself, hey, man, that's a wonderful thing. And when I say learn to laugh at yourself, if that means going and standing in front of a mirror and just making faces at yourself, go and do that. You know, you'll be surprised at the tension and the stress it helps relieve, you know, because you just start laughing. See how many crazy faces you can make. Yeah. Hey, I do it all the time, so don't bother me. But, yeah, that's how I know. So, you know, go ahead and try that. You know, and it's always a good thing. All right? And let's see. That's going to do it. Monday, let's see. We're going to take you out of here with Marvin Gaye and Curtis Mayfield. Of course, we got to take you out of here with that. And I'll see y'all Monday. Once again, enjoy your weekend. Love y'all. See ya. 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. This has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mr. Talk, saying see ya. Don't want to be ya.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's
up?
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, pick it light and pick it fast. Punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Everybody's
right?
The right time, with something positive in your mind. There's always someone to pull you down. You just get back up and hold your ground. If there's ever something bad you don't wanna see, just keep on walking and let it be. I don't wanna hear about all this bad. No, no. Cause all that's bad just makes me sad. Mm-hmm. So every little, once in a while, show some love and make me smile. Cry sometimes with tears of joy. Oh yeah. Show a help, now won't it boy? Summer, winter, fall, just go through the rain and through the snow. Let's get on back to living again. Right on, just get on back to living again. Get on back, get on back. Wherever life takes me, I don't know. Hey, just give me a truth and let me grow. I have these feelings in myself. Hey, I'm sure there must be someone else shooting guns and prison life. Is that what you want? Well, Jesus Christ, it's best for you to get back on track. There ain't no need in looking back. Don't look back. So you're trying hard. Well, try again. Sometimes you lose, sometimes you win. Just remember by and by. Just remember, it's best to keep a natural high. So summer, winter, fall, just go.
Go ahead, Mayfield.
Bye-bye.